Yeah, my father had a saying. He said that you don't miss the water until the well runs dry. And he used to use that quite a fair amount. It basically says to us that you don't appreciate something until it's gone. I know here in the cottage they have a well which is on the other side of the stream, on the other side of the river here. And presumably they turn on the tap and they go ahead and they use the water and it's used without any problem at all. But if you turn on the tap one day and there's no water there, suddenly you start to realise just how valuable water is and just how much we actually need water. And the same principle applies when you come to even an old car. I mean, you might have an old car that you really would like to get rid of, but if the car completely and totally dies, then you suddenly realise just how valuable the old car was while it was still living. And you can go for homes or shoes or clothes or people even as well. And certainly it's when you come to people, you know, parents, you don't realise just how much you value your parents until they're not there anymore. Children, sons and daughters, husbands, wives. Again, it's only when they are not there and you suddenly realise just how much you miss them and how much you appreciate them. And it's not until the water runs out and the well runs dry that you start to really miss what you've had. It's the same regarding the truth of God as well. It was the case that as far as the apostasy was concerned, it was when the Sabbath was removed from us that we suddenly started to realise just how valuable that Sabbath was, and just started to realise just what we had been given in the holy days and the plan of God that was in the holy days. So I always remember, you know, thinking about this as far as Mr. Armstrong is concerned. I remember being in a student dance. It was a freshman dance, and there was somebody sitting down talking. One of the freshmen was actually talking to Mr. Armstrong, and spent a considerable time talking to Mr. Armstrong. I was very scathing in my mind about this. I said there's far more important things to do. I mean, dancing with the girls is far more important than sitting down and talking to Mr. Armstrong. And yet, quite frankly, how now I wish that I could sit down and actually talk to Mr. Armstrong and discuss certain things with him. How much more valuable would it be? And yet at the time, it wasn't. You know, the water was running and the water was coming without any problem. And it was only when the water ran dry that you suddenly realised just how valuable that water is. What I want to do today is I want to apply the principle to something that you and I and everybody within the church really has access to, which really we can, if we're not careful, treat as if, you know, without really appreciating it. And that is the material that's on the website. The material on that website, are we actually downloading and reading it? Otherwise, what is the point of putting material up? Are we downloading and listening to it? Are we listening and making sure that we understand just what it was, this heritage, this spiritual heritage that was left to us? Are we too busy? Or is it just, well, it's there, will it always be there, or will it be always there? Again, put in your notes, Amos 8:11, which talks about a famine of the word. Eventually that famine will come, and those websites will be closed down, and then it won't be available. Do we download it? Do we save the files? Do we read the files? Do we make use of the material that's there? This is what I want to do today, is basically apply that principle, and I want to do it by showing the attitude of a group of people that we find within Scripture. And the attitude of the group of people, or the groups of people that I'm talking about, are people from Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. And if you want to put a title for the sermon, it's the Websites and Thessalonians, I suppose. It would be a suitable title for the sermon itself. A sermon. Sermonette. I'll try and make it, not make it a sermon. Turn over to Acts 17 as an introduction, really, as far as this. So I said it was an extended sermonette, because it gives me a little bit more time, and nobody knows quite how much time you're supposed to have. But Acts 17. Because here in Acts 17 we find the first time that Paul comes across the Thessalonians, and he actually explains to them the truth. And here in chapter 17 verse 1 it says, "Now as they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there is a synagogue of the Jews." So it wasn't just Gentiles he was dealing with. It was the Gentiles that were there actually were attending the synagogue. They knew about the law to a large degree. They'd been converted at least to Judaism, the vast majority of them anyway. And this particular journey that he was making, it was the second journey that he had made. If you remember, he had this falling out between himself and Barnabas over John Mark, who John Mark was the nephew of Barnabas, and Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, and Paul wanted to take Silas. At Lystra, he came across Timothy for the first time. He saw him as a young man who was certainly very useful to him in the ministry. He was forbidden by the Holy Spirit, remember, to go across to Bithynia, and he therefore he was going to actually go up north towards the area of Turkey, towards the northern part of Turkey as it is today, onto the shores of the Black Sea, and the Spirit forbade him to do that. And he actually had a vision of a man of Macedonia that was calling him to come across the water to them. Now Macedonia is the top part of Greece, and as Greece goes up and it kind of then bends across toward Turkey, across that top part you have the range. You have Philippi, you have Thessalonica, and you have Berea. Those are the three main cities up there. Down the bottom you've got Athens on the right hand side, and you've got Corinth on the left, if you look at east and west. And that's the area of Achaia, whereas Macedonia is this northern area. And here in Acts 17, notice what it says in verse 10. It says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming thither went to the synagogue of the Jews." So he did exactly the same thing as he did in Thessalonica. It says, "These were more noble than in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." They're talking about the Jews now, not just the people. It was the Jews that received it with all readiness of mind. "Search the scriptures daily whether those things were so." So he actually went to Philippi initially, just before coming here into Acts 17. If you remember, he was cast into, he cast out a demon, and he was then beaten. He and Silas were beaten and put into prison. And here in chapter 17, where it says they'd passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, came to Thessalonica, where there's a synagogue of the Jews. That's coming out of Philippi going across. "And Paul, as his manner was," verse 2, "went into them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures." So again, he was talking to the Jews, he was talking to the people there in the synagogue, "opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again." Now, when he says Christ, he's talking about the Messiah, that they fully understood regarding the Messiah in Judaism, the second coming of the Messiah, that is, "and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus who I preach to you is the Messiah." Now, it's interesting that if you look in verse 7, it talks about Jason, who is they also went ahead and fined, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. So it was the kingdom of God that was being preached at that particular time to the Thessalonians at this time. And in verse 4, "and some of them believed," notice, some of the Jews, some of the people in the synagogue believed, "and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few." So it wasn't just Jews. It was Gentiles that also believed in the God of Israel. And it says, "but the Jews which did not believe," and I want you to notice this, it is did not believe, didn't accept his word, didn't believe what he was saying, "moved with envy, took them a certain lewd fellows, the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people." So we see, you know, again, quite clearly, that they simply didn't believe. And it says in verse 13, it says, "when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached at Berea, they came there also, and they stirred up the people." So there were two groups of people there. There were some people that would actually believe what Paul had to say, valued the word, and actually took notice of that word and treasured that word. Another group of people did not value the word. They were the ones that basically, and they're coming from the same synagogue, the same area. They didn't value the word, and therefore they therefore actually attacked Paul. They went against Paul. They worked against Paul and Silas, and also Timothy is would be with them at that time. Now, if we turn over, if you've got a marker, you put it in there. I don't know whether I won't be coming back there so much. But if we come over to 1 Thessalonians and actually read in 1 Thessalonians and see what Paul has got to say in the light of what we've just read over in Acts about this trip that he made into Thessalonica and how he first came in contact with the Thessalonians. Here we see, and this is written from Corinth, probably later that year, you know, towards the end. It was about 50 AD, around that kind of time, but it was a bit later in the year. It says, "Paul and Silvanus," which is another name for Silas, "and Timothy," To the Church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's addressing them from Corinth around about 50 AD. And down in verse 5, it says, Now our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. As he actually went into Thessalonica, and it says, and you became followers of us. So it was a case they valued the word, and they actually valued the example that Paul and Silas had, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jason was therefore brought before the rulers, and it was a real problem. It was a real problem in Philippi. You had the case that Paul and Silas had been actually thrown in prison, as we'll come on and see. He mentions this even here. And he says, and so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, Macedonia being northern Greece, Achaia being southern Greece. And down in chapter 2 now, in verse 1, it says, for yourselves, brethren, know that our entrance to you, that it wasn't in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, in Philippi, that was when he was beaten. So he'd just come, and this is, as he actually approached the synagogue of the Jews in Thessalonica, he'd just come from Philippi. He probably still had the scars on him. He's probably going to take off his shirt and see the beating that he and Silas had had. We were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God with much contention. In other words, in this real problems that they were having. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness or in guile. What he was saying was absolutely accurate. And when we look at the word, when you go and examine our websites and see the word that was given to us and was left for us, and it was left to us by God, by Jesus Christ, through the apostle that he sent, it is valuable. And it's without guile, it's not of uncleanness, it's not of guile, it's not of deceit. And down in verse 9, he says, for you remember, brethren, our labour and travail, for labouring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. And he was talking earlier on in this chapter about how he was working as a tent maker. He was actually providing for himself during the week, and then preaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath and also elsewhere during the weekend. Weekend. I don't know whether they'd actually have a weekend as such as we have. It wouldn't be a weekend. It says, you are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblamably we behaved among you that believe. Notice, that believe. And we've just seen in Acts how, in fact, they were one group that believed, but there was another group there that didn't believe, that didn't value the word. And this was the difference between the two groups. One valued the word, one didn't value the word. And we need to be careful when we look at what we've actually been given and what we've been left to us, that we do indeed value that word. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy or approved of God, who has called you into his kingdom and glory, looking forward into the future of you. Again, read the entire section here, the end of chapter 1. He talks about how they are waiting for the return of Christ. And in subsequent chapters, it talks about the return of Christ and how the kingdom of God was going to be established. And verse 13, and this is the crucial verse. For this cause, this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, this is the difference between these two groups. You received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works also in you that believe. That was the difference. They received the word, not just as a word of man, but the word of God that was coming through men. And that is precisely what we've got on those websites. We've got the word of God that is coming to this end time generation from God, but through an individual. Through an individual that he specifically sent and that he specifically revealed information to. But are we making use of it? That's the question. Do we actually make use of it? Do we understand that? No, these things... I mean, just imagine. Let's just imagine this particular, these individuals here, where it says this, we also give thanks to God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works also in you that believe. What about when they received this letter? Now, this letter was only about a year or so after they had first believed, maybe less than a year after they first believed. What kind of value would they have placed on that? Can you imagine in the future that you're going to rise up in the resurrection and you'll meet somebody from Thessalonica? And they'll say to you, okay, fine, how did it work in the 21st century? What is it like? Well, we used to have this little device in our home and we could log onto a website. What's a website? Well, this place where words come upon. Okay. You mean you could read the letter that came from Paul to the Thessalonians? Yes, I have those on my laptop, and in all the books in my house we have multiple books. But we had to go ahead and read it and borrow it and pass it from one person to another all the way down the chain in the church. We didn't have it to ourselves at all. What were we doing with all the information? You mean all the people, the person that actually revealed the truth to you, that you could go onto this website in your home and you could actually look at the words and read them? You could hear his voice? Can you imagine trying to describe this to somebody from Thessalonica? And yet these people treasured that word. They treasured the truth, and they made sure that that was the difference. That was the defining difference between the Jews that didn't believe and the Jews that did believe, and the people that did believe. Because it wasn't just Jews. There was Greeks, there was other people as well, and of chief women, not a few, as it says. Now, here we find ourselves today at a time with restitution of all things. All things that we need to have at this time has been restored, all that we need to have. It doesn't mean to say that the things, how to run a city in the world tomorrow, hasn't yet been restored. We don't need that at this present time. When Christ returns, that will be restored. But the principles involved are certainly there. The looking forward to this particular time, that's certainly there. The information that we will need to be running cities is all there. But this particular verse, in verse 13, is crucial. That their example, their thing that made them radically different from the other group, was that they received that word as in truth what it was. It was the word of God. Now, it's interesting. If you turn over a couple of pages to 2 Thessalonians, here is Paul talking to these people who received that word as it is in truth, the word of God, commenting to them about us. That's what he's commenting here in 2 Thessalonians 2. Where it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, or about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together, that you're not shaken as from letters as if from us. Now, this appears as if perhaps some of these Jews had been writing letters, masquerading as if it was for Paul, to try and undermine what was being talked about as far as the kingdom of God and the return of Christ. And so the masquerading, as it says in verse 2. But it says in verse 3, it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away and apostasy first, and that the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now we are in that age, right at the very end time. We're looking at these things. We can read this letter. It's on our, on the laptop here that I've got on my left-hand side. I've got it there. There's another laptop over on the right-hand side. Presumably you've got a Bible program on there. And all the laptops that are listening to me, or the computers that are listening to me, you've got Bibles there. You've got Bibles in front of you. And in addition to that, you've got the Word of God as delivered to us at this time as well. What else do we need? What more do we need? And yet, do we really value it? Do we really put a value on that material? As it says here, that verse 8, and then shall the wicked one, once this apostasy occurs, once this man of perdition is revealed, the wicked one will be revealed, who the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy in the brightness of his coming, this end time beast power, even him who comes after the working of Satan, the beast power and the false prophet, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. It was the love of the truth that was so absolutely vital, or was, not was, is, prophesied to these people who had the love of the truth, prophesied to these people who, were they given what you and I have today, they would have delighted to be able to download what is available to us. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that all might be damned or judged, who believe not the truth. There's your problem again. but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We just read that over in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, how they counted those words as dear, as something coming from God. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions that you've been taught, whether by word or by epistle, or they could be basically say whether by cassette or CD, or perhaps by a download of a booklet. Word or epistle, cassette, CD, download of a booklet, the same thing. That's exactly what you've been given. That's what we have been given. So let's make sure that when we just wonder about Bible study and the things that we've been given, when we go onto the website, that we do treasure that, that we make really real use of it. We do make use of it. Because it does say very clearly here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that I read before, for this cause we also thank God that without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, and we have that word of God that came to us at this end time, this word that restored all things. It did not come from Mr. Armstrong. It came via him, but it did not come from him. It came from God. It had to, because of the material that was there. When you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works also in you that believe.